Polylingualism. People speak many languages, and although it's difficult to actually get numbers, correct numbers together, the evidence we have is that across the world, the norm is for people to speak more than one language. Now, of course, that depends in part on how you define language. Would a dialect count as a different language? Would different registers, the more formal or informal way in which we speak, count as differences when it comes to language? But even if you stick to what we recognize as, let's say, national languages, languages which have the backing of a nation, of a state, of a political identification. Many of us, most probably most of us across the world, have access at different levels, perhaps, to more than one of those. Now, what do we call people who speak more than one language? Now, for those of us who only speak one, if there are people who really only speak one, we use the word monolinguals. And monolinguals are meant to have access to only one code. Very often people identify as monolinguals or think of themselves as monolinguals, even if in practice they shift languages. They shift, as I was saying, between a dialect, for instance, and a recognized standard. They shift between different codes from time to time, depending on who they're speaking for, to where they are, and so on. So there are what we can call performances of monolingualism. We like to associate with just one language. There's a tradition which makes us think of one nation, one culture, one language. So the nationalist tradition of especially Western thought somehow associates normality and belonging with having just one language. But, as I was saying, the majority of us are actually capable of switching. Maybe we're not perfect in any one language, the ideal speaker doesn't really exist. Maybe we are more fluent in one language than in another. Maybe we use one language for only technical, professional purposes and another one in our everyday, our family, our affective life. But most of us do switch. Now, we can talk about people who have more than one language as multilinguals, as plurilinguals, or as polylinguals. And these prefixes may seem to make very little difference, but in practice they do. When we talk of multilingualism, the image that we have is almost of siluses, of languages which may come in contact occasionally, but which sit side by side in parallel. And people may switch between one and the other, but that distinction is still quite rigid. Pluri and polylingualism, on the other hand, indicate a greater fluidity. Now, those two words are used almost interchangeably, and yet, again, there are differences in there. For those of us who come from Romance languages, from the Italian cultural tradition in particular, there's a very strong sense in which plurilingualism sends us back to a history which is centuries long of what the Italians call la questione della lingua, the debate between Latin and the vernaculars and between dialect and standard. And that implication somehow also sends us to a philological tradition. Polylingualism, on the other hand, evokes something different. Evokes in particular Michael Bakhtin and the idea of heteroglossia, the importance of difference and of the fluidity of voices across linguistic landscapes. It speaks about people who hybridize language and who are creative with language and whose voices are different and distinct, but still capable of talking to each other. And so in a transnational perspective, and also in a translational perspective, that word, polylingualism, seems to resonate in a much more positive, constructive, and creative way, giving us a sense of belonging into multiple languages which can talk to each other and can influence each other creatively rather than just sitting side by side and hardly touching each other.